seen by knowledge and distinction of abundance of the land on which we meet, and he had not steps to elders past the fifth dimension. And I also acknowledge my co-speaker, the Honourable Chairman Beekman, who I actually had the pleasure of meeting this morning and discussing what is very much the mutual challenge between both corporations and government, and I look forward to continuing that conversation here today. So, as the head of Telstra's transformation, communications and people function, this mouthful, a key part of one or one team's role, more importantly, is to look at the future of work. And I'm pleased that some of the main trends that we see are also included in the future work, future jobs report prepared by Jobs Queensland. As previously mentioned, the expected impact of the future of work that we need to discuss actually is the five principles, and mostly with a huge sense of urgency. That's understandable when you think of the course of the year that you referenced, which is that 40% of Australian jobs are expected to be impacted by digitisation and automation, because of civic wisdom. And there are really very real implications for Australians, both as current employees and employees of the future, as well as business, government, and education providers. However, it's not quite black and white, because automation is also causing a positive shift to more complex and value-added work, and as technology evolves, not only will roles go, but new roles will also evolve. 2 years ago, you probably never heard of, or certainly I have never heard of, blockchain, 3D printing, fiction, or a virtual reality designer. Those are some of the jobs that are tipped to increase in the employment market over the next 5 years. So while there is absolutely a huge opportunity to improve productivity and build a knowledge-based economy, by harnessing technological change and investing in skills and that wonderful disruption, electricity is that there's more opportunities for new and fresh. But I also think it is important to say that it is clearly becoming increasingly urgent to mitigate the challenges represented by the future of work, while we're not leveraging the opportunities that it presents. We need solutions to get that balance right between what government does, what the private sector needs and needs to contribute to the challenge, and what supporting schools, tax and universities. This is urgent for three reasons. The continued advancement in digital technology and connectivity at a rate we certainly have never seen before is fundamentally changing the nature of work. It's not a relative or when work is not a new skill. New skills and capabilities are needed for those new technologies, and that's because they're becoming economical. And there is actually a huge lag between when a university or a place builds for a job and when those graduates come into market and are ready to work in systems. So we need to be getting ahead of the curve, and I'm trying to suggest we may be slightly behind that curve already. Compounding these things are the changing expectations of workers as well. As the gig economy and the workforce has fluctuated for years, I think it's very clear that job security is becoming top of mind. And according to the 2018 Community Pulse Report, the sector of opportunities around career development, but also the ongoing search, which isn't completely new, but I think it's getting stronger, for work-life balance and flexibility. So we actually have a lot of things that we need to respond to in terms of what the future workforce needs to look like. I like to think it's just a little bit to mitigate some of these challenges. But one of the things that we're very conscious of is it's actually not just for us.
It's the path of settling the future prospect prosperity and ensuring that we're actually continue to be and become stronger in our global competition. So I want to step back for a minute, because when we talk about the future of work, what is the often forgotten or not talked about that was mentioned in the opening story is the fact that human strength and capability will become more valuable than ever as technology evolves. So when you think about AI, for example, you actually still need a human being to design the algorithms and to manage the systems to make sure that they actually deliver on the internet objectives, but also that we manage the risks that technology can create. So, I think we need to move away from it being a people versus technology discussion. It's about how we bring those attributes together so that we can deliver the very best. But the fact is, there's simply not enough technology talent in this world. And the number of graduates is simply not enough to see the growing skills gap. Strategies at a national level are required to build a much bigger technology talent pipeline in Australia for the overall benefit of the nation. And I will come back to that shortly. But I think Jobs Queensland's statement that business as usual is not an option perfectly sums up the situation that we're facing. As some of you might know, and certainly my Jobs colleagues in the room, Jobs was 18 months into a transformation program that we call T22. And this transformation is about changing the way we work, simplifying the products that we sell, and creating an all-new digital experience for our customers. It's not an easy transformation, and we'll have our bumps along the way, but it is something that we nationally and passionately agree that we need to press into. Within that context, something you probably don't talk about as much is that our future workforce strategy is fundamental to supporting that transformation. Our workforce strategy that lays out how we need to attract, develop, retain, retrain, and rebalance our workforce, and it's all of them. In developing that plan, we consider the type of work we will be doing in the future, how we will do that work, the capabilities we need it, and therefore what our workforce will need to look like. And we did a lot of work to also identify where to supply the various talent is, and how we could recruit and retain that talent, and we want to manage the supporting care of course. For example, we've had good success with developing and retraining people in customer service and support roles, particularly that in regional centres, and notably very much so in Queensland. Responding to the community's changing expectations around workplace flexibility is another focus. For many of us, we've been able to work flexibly and work from home for a very long time, but not all roles have necessarily been able to do that. However, until recently, in particular for our call centre staff, our customer support staff, we didn't have the right technological solution to enable that. But I'm actually very pleased to say that we're now filing that in Queensland at our contact centre in Mirambo, where we do now have the right technology and we have a huge workforce demand to be able to help them work where they want, when they want, but actually also continue to support our customers. Also, help develop and retain top technology talent to help us ensure Australia is a leader in 5G. We've also invested in a 5G innovation centre in the Gold Coast. With all that in mind, we've taken a multifaceted approach to building the skills that we need in the future. And it comes to a range of things, whether it's from partnering with education providers to build the big pipeline of technology talent, ongoing investment in early access programs such as the the program will be increased our intake from our intake in the last 12 months. Programs that encourage the use of civic technology amongst all students, it has to be foundational to what we do. We need to actually make the teachers more passionate about this so that they will be back in time to universities of place and pursue careers in this country. And we're also investing in our own to train and upskill. One of the things that I do want to call out is the emphasis for most of us, not everyone in the room, but certainly when I was studying, a Bachelor of Science Security wasn't the course option. But as I said, this is just one example of the skills that we need that wasn't specifically taught in the classroom. And this idea of the Bachelor of Science Security in the future. So, how do we build interest in this career? As well as the strategy of one way that we do that is partnering with a small number of universities to jointly develop the technology skills and capabilities that Australia needs. Together, we work in university learning for a whole range of things, from curriculum reviews, workplaces, and mentoring opportunities, as well as collaborating on research and innovation. I can say that this is new territory for us. We don't know exactly how that relationship works and how we're going to make sure we deliver the results we want. But we do know that this was investing in and that we're straight on that and we can learn from the community. This partnership that exists with Biomarks for the regular program that now does focus on accessible technology areas such as software and network engineering, information and management and product and service development. We're also mindful that not more needs to be done to cultivate that early interest in technology, starting with all students. So we've got a number of targeted students including community programs and school partnerships to build curiosity and skills in technology as it's the early stages of technical schooling. And that includes programs partnerships with federal government pathways and technology program on PTEC for high school students so that they get exposure to the world of work, but also they get to see mentors who carve out their own technology careers. The Telstra Foundation has also developed a launch for digital futures program in partnership with education focused nonprofits to build STEAM skills for teachers and students in low digital inclusion locations. Another thing that we are very committed to will be continuing to expand the network to inquire by the community. So, skills and capabilities, I think we've said a lot, said about how they become the currency of the future, particularly for these skills. Science, technology, engineering, arts, and mathematics. The reference for arts or soft skills is very important and one that I think often gets left out. We need well-rounded workers. They need to not only have technology skills, but they also need to be intellectually curious and use design thinking, creativity, and communication skills to bring innovation to class. They also need to know how to work collaboratively. And the reality is that we need to be very highly adaptive as the way that we work and what we do will continue to evolve. So, if we think about as technology and our ways of working evolve, so too does the need for executive degree and then just most of us know that very well. But the reality is that significant skills development will be needed. Probably every 3 to 5 years, probably more on the side of 3 than 5, as you can imagine. As technology and as constant work continues to evolve. And it's just not feasible. If we're going to step out of the workplace at every 3 to 5 years, then we end up just another 3 to 4 years. So we need to shift our mindset to continue to work. Something I was also very pleased to see captured in the job report. In this space, individuals certainly have their own personal responsibility for investing in development and ensuring their skills remain consistent. But so too do employers. And until so we are trying to make sure that we support our workforce humanely to the future, in this financial year alone, we'll invest more than $25 million in training, and that will mean that at least 3,000 people, which represents about 2% of our workforce, will acquire a fundamentally new skill. Our overall training covers 3 core areas: technical skills, customer skills, and professional skills, because we see that 3 always need to go together. Some of that training will come in house, but we're also partnering with universities, and this is where partnership and collaboration becomes very important, to co-design and run micro-credentials in critical technology areas such as data analytics, cyber security, and software-defined network. These 6 to 8 week programs are recognized externally and are designed to upskill our people in areas that are complementary to the jobs that they currently so that we ensure that they're better equipped to respond to self-development. And I'm very pleased that recently we partnered with Mastery Online to deliver our first micro-credential in software-defined network engineering. This will not only support our employees, but for our partnership with our membership, we collaboratively delivered a program that's now publicly available. So this is our developing a highly curriculum for our people that actually the nation more broadly. I believe that micro-credentials will become an increasingly important learning pathway. And it's encouraging to see the Queensland government allocating funding in the current budget for a micro-credential pilot program, which I'm definitely going to be looking to ways looking for ways to partner on. Beyond those formal programs, we also need to be investing in broader development. And we're trying to do that through what most organisations are, making online learning more accessible, making sure that we have the ability or we create the opportunity for our employees to call back when they need it and where they need it. I want to turn for a minute to career progression. Like many of us, certainly I started my career in a world where I saw progression as moving through the hierarchy of my personal field. As workplaces transform, the way we think about career progression and our expectations of what we think a successful career looks like will progress and change. Traditionally, we generally have 3 paths, where one works their way up to corporate ladder, will change as organisations become flatter, and new ways of working, such as agile, instead, I fully believe that career progression will become more about broadening skills and experience through lateral movement and finding ways to increasingly work on high-consistency work and deliver more impact or outcomes to organisations. So, a lot less about your title, the budget you run, but more about the contribution that you make. And that's clearly not going to be an easy mindset shift for many of us. And here's what I'm terribly conscious of what that means for employee engagement and retention. So what we're trying to do is start to focus on creating a clear and compelling view of Jobs for even report calls that help evaluation. That's how we